Here we are, Sunday night, July 28th. And we are looking at part 23 of Life Issues. We are looking at worship. This would be part 2 of worship. False worship, of course. Or what is about all this worship? Everybody has their worship teams, their worship leader. Come worship with us. Who cares what you believe? Who cares what your doctrine is? Just come and worship God together here. That's what we're talking about. And is that right or wrong? We looked this morning at worship in the Old Testament. We recognize that what they did in the Old Testament was what we are still doing today and still considering that worship. Is that still worship during today? And we started off with a conclusion, because we all know the conclusion anyways, Acts 17. No, that is not worship today. Acts 17, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. And that's more than just statue worship there. That's music, that's the churches we have, the buildings, the whole concept. God is not in that building like he was in that temple at the holiest of holies. And it goes even deeper, gets into God has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. It's quite involved in those two or three verses. And we're just going through the scriptures, which is the King James Bible. We're just looking at worship. We're looking at what it has to say about worship. Old Testament have people bowing head to the pavement and et cetera, et cetera. All sorts of different examples and illustrations. David changed his apparel before he went into the house of the Lord and make sure he was dressed nicely. And you go through this and you see all the stuff that we're still doing today. So church today is still based on an Old Testament design of the temple, et cetera, et cetera. So let's go to Matthew, and let's go to the somewhat New Testament. We know that Hebrews 9 tells us the New Testament really doesn't begin until the death of the testator. So this is what Jesus taught to the Jews. These are not teachings to the Gentiles. These are teachings to the Jews. And in fact, Christ told those apostle guys of his not to go to the Gentiles with this stuff. And when he finally did, which is called the Great Commission, that was done in Acts 1:8. We are not in Great Commission days. We're just not. We're in Paul's Commission days. We are. The Great Commission was to be followed up with signs and miracles and wonders and all that kind of stuff. I mean, what the Baptists are doing, teaching the Great Commission, come on, you guys, you don't get that? You can't just skip the last couple of verses in Mark 16, for example. That isn't written to us. Those are Jews. That's not to us. Paul is our gospel. Paul is what we're looking to follow here. So we'll get into Paul's words of worship here in a minute, see what goes on there. So let's look at what Jesus himself said in the times he was down here on the earth to the Jews to become their Messiah, but they killed him, etc. We know the story. Matthew 8, verse 2. Now, this is a little bit more interesting. And behold, Matthew 8, verse 2, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, comma, saying, comma, Lord, if thou wilt, comma, thou canst make me clean. Now, here's a little bit more difference. Here are some differences to the Old Testament. Well, the Old Testament's worshiping God. Now, we have Jesus down here, which we know is Son of God. We know is God, etc. We know all that. But here he is specifically, and the scriptures are very clear when it says here, worship him saying, Lord, if thou wilt. Now, that's worship. Saying, talking to the Lord, is worship. Look at it very closely, grammatically. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt. His worship was speaking, asking him to make him clean. Let's look at some more examples. Matthew 9, verse 18. We will see that talking to the Lord was worship. Matthew 9:18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now deaf, dead, etc., etc. That was worship, prayer, talking to him. Matthew 14. Matthew 14, verse 33. Matthew 14, verse 33. Where's my timer? I think I'll actually turn it on this time here. See how we do. A little late, but not too much. Matthew 14, 33. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Two things. One, there's the salvation is such in the Gospels to believe that he is the Son of God. That's what they had to believe, but we'll get into that now. But it says, came and worshipped him, comma, saying, comma, that was part of worship. Now, Matthew 15:9, we're looking at worship as far as what is being taught. In this case, it was teaching the wrong stuff. Matthew 15:9, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So we see that teaching, which we'll show here in a minute as well, is part of worship. But in this case, it was vain worship, because what they were teaching was the doctrines, the commandments of men. But it still tells us that teaching is part of worship. Matthew 15:25, just a few verses down, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Again, talking to the Lord. That's worship. Talking to him. Asking him. Matthew 18:26, chapter 18, verse 26. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Worship. Speaking to the Lord. And we only see this in the Gospels, by the way. Now, if you ever go to Matthew 28:17, have you ever had doubt in your worship days? Here's one. And when they saw him, Matthew 28:17, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Not only that, let's go to Mark 15, verse 19. Mark 15:19, and they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshiped him. Oh, that's odd. You know, they're going to kill him and they worship him. Isn't that just... must be more than just reverence as such here. If we look at Luke chapter 4, verse 7, we see what Satan, the devil, call him what they want, what he really wants, and he wants worship. He's talking to the Lord. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Satan wants worship. Satan wants us talking to him. Satan wants us revering him. Satan wants us to praise him. He wants us all these things that are talking about worship here. Satan wants that. John chapter 4. There's other verses here. These are just some highlighted ones. They're all saying the same thing. John chapter 4, verse 20. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, which I still have said for years, that is not on this mountain. That is not on the top of a mountain. It is in this mountain. Our fathers worship in this mountain. Anyway, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. See, it's a physical place to go worship still. Then he says in verse 21, John chapter 4, now we're starting to look into some futuristic thoughts here when he says, John chapter 4, verse 21, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know that we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Then he says, But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. So we're seeing a hint here that there's going to come a time where worship will not be in a physical place. It will not be a certain thing. Right then, listen, this is a Jewish issue, lady. But there will come a time where they will not worship in a certain city, in a certain place, in a certain mountain. It will not be a physical, it will not be a physical worship. It will be a worship in spirit and in truth. And it says, "For the Father seeketh such." That's what he wants people to. He wants them to have the truth, with the truth, and in spirit. Worship the Father in spirit. It's a spiritual thing. Kingdom of God. That's what Paul's teaching. See, he's telling people, listen, pretty soon this is the way it's going to be. I'm telling this lady, this is what it's going to be. Look at John 9:31. John 9:31 says this. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God, couldn't be a sinner, and doeth his will. You want to be a worshiper of God, then you had to do his will. If that's the case, then God would hear you. He would hear their worship, which is speaking to him and doing his will, doing what God would have you to do. So do we use this verse in John, which is one of our classic Baptist books that we have people read? I shouldn't say we, but the Baptists have them read. Is this what it has to be a worshiper of God? You've got to do his will? That's works. That isn't what Paul teaches. Okay, just some quick things there. Interesting stuff. The worship has a different flavor as such. From the Old Testament, bow your heads, get down on the ground, lay your head flat on the ground, get your head to the pavement, as they say. And now we got people talking to Jesus, and that's worship. And then we get to what Paul says. Let's go to the classic place in Acts, and then we'll look at some things, so we'll be done. This is worship. Acts 17, we know 17, we know what we're talking about here. He's talking to these people who are ignorantly worshiping. They had no idea. It says here, "For as I passed by, I beheld your devotions." There's that word again. "I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God." Now, isn't that interesting how they would even say that? Oh, for crying out loud. I hope you got this, Mark, on the video. Hope you got the audio on this thing. Didn't turn my microphone on, so I might as well just cut the video here. You can have it. I'll get it from you, I hope. Turn that off, so there won't be any video tonight. I will be putting videos back on, because I heard from some people who want to still want to look at something instead of just listen. I think they enjoy watching me getting older. That's what I think it is. So that takes care of that. Okay. So anyway, back to our thing here. It's interesting that they would even put this on their inscription. "I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God." It's like people pray, but they don't know who they're praying to. They believe God teaches this, but they don't know for sure if he does teach that or not. They just go by their feelings, and the preachers have them thinking that that's what God tells them to do. Like the guy last night that said, "Listen, your body's in pain is because you're disobeying God." What a bunch of baloney. Okay, prove us where it says that. I mean, the guy doesn't talk about Bible. He's the man of God, and he could just say things. So people just sucker into following these people. Yeah, anyway. Okay, Acts 17:25. Neither is worship with men's hands. So worship is now not a physical thing. Okay, Acts 18. Here is an accusation being made, and this is why Paul is so disliked by the brethren today. Because it says in Acts 13, "Say this fellow," being Paul, "persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law." So basically, Paul's teachings about worship is contrary to what Jesus taught in the Gospels. It's contrary to what was taught in the Old Testament. Paul's worship is a spiritual worship, which is exactly what Jesus said it was going to be in John. But this is why people don't They want to have a church to go to. They want to have a fancy, nice, beautiful building. Want to have that altar. They want to have the kneeling racks. They want to have this. They want to have this, the stained glass windows. They want to have candles, and they want it to be beautifully expensive, gold-plated candles. This is worship Him in the beauty of His holiness. All this stuff. And if we build parking lots, more people will come and worship with us. It's all what it is. It's all worship. And as we'll see here, this worship today that people are doing is setting people up to worship the Antichrist. And if they don't see the Antichrist face to face, they're going to see His image, and they will worship the image. And what do we have going on behind all the pastors in these modern churches? They got a man's image up there. And we know that they can make this image hologram or whatever. We see that they're getting ready to make, they can already do it, put an image up to where they'll see it throughout all the world. It's really getting, I guess I can say the word exciting. It's just verifying the Bible, but nobody's being taught that stuff, so when it does happen, people don't even know anymore that that's a biblical fear or a biblical teaching to watch out for. It identifies what dispensation you're in, and up and the, how far up the creek you are, and whether or not you got a paddle or not. Just like it says in Amos, there's a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. It's not going to happen. So anyway. So that's Paul's criticism. Is he's getting people to worship God, but differently than Jesus did in the Gospels and the Old Testament. Look at Acts 19:27, one of the verses you hear all the time about, from me anyway, about despising religion and the magnificent all should be destroyed, because it says, and not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. Well, that's quite a statement. The whole world worships this goddess Diana. Well, the whole world worships the Pope and Mary. And so we go along and we despise that sort of a thing, and we try to destroy the magnificence of it. Well, why do you have to pick on the other churches? Because they're all part of the same scene. I mean, even a lot of the Paul guys are falling for Old Testament worship, Old Testament teachings. Even though they say they're following Paul, they still have to have this church gathering. And not that it's wrong to have a gathering of everybody. We're gathered here, but people—that's what people want. They'll put up with some false teachings so they can still have this physical worship place. And they get caught up in religion, just like anybody else. And the Baptists who said they were never part of the Roman ship are now part of the Roman ship anyway. They're all caving into the ecumenical stuff. This is Diana. This is the goddess Diana. And the whole world worships this goddess. And someday, somewhat soon, this Antichrist is going to be down here, and people are going to hear this music, and they're going to go to him, just like the Pied Piper. You know, these children hear this little flute, dooby 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 doo, and they just flock to that thing and they stay with it, if you know the story. Anyway, this is where it's going. Oh, and by the way, remember, this was written 400 years ago plus. This isn't just some new discovery. This has been written like this for over 400 years. I bet they read this stuff and they think, boy, I sure don't know what that's going to be all. I can't imagine that happening. How can the whole world see him? Well, we're living when we can see how they're going to see him. The image. It's not something scratched in the dirt or on a rock for the cavemen. This is the way it's going to be. Then Acts 19, verse 35, when the town clerk, he's got these people all stirred, and the town clerk had appeased the public, he said, "Ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana?" And I still don't know much about this, for it says, "and of the image which fell down from Jupiter." Ruckman's got his 2 cents on that thing, and naturally it's kind of wild, but hey, what do I know, you know? But we know that the Ephesians, and we know the book of Ephesians, and Paul goes to Ephesians, Ephesus, you know, and these people are worshippers of the great goddess Diana. He just went right into the thick of things there. Okay, Acts 24. Here's another statement about Paul. Acts 24, verse 14. We know that he's being accused of teaching people how to worship God contrary to what they were taught before, contrary to the law. And now we see another one here where Paul says, Acts 24, 14, "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers." So here's Paul's response or rebuttal to that other verse when he says, listen, you can call this heresy if you want, but this is what I preach and this is what I do. This is how I worship the God of my fathers. I believe all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. He still believes that stuff. But he still now knows it's a different dispensation. He knows that the worship is different. I still believe the Old Testament. I still believe in Jesus' gospel and the gospels. I just have, without a shadow of a doubt, know that that isn't written to me. And our worship today is different. Well, how can it be different? Well, God is in us. For one thing, Christ is in us. So why do we have to go to some building? Why do we have to go someplace? Why do we have to do this? And when we pray, and when we read his teachings, we listen to him and we believe what he's teaching us, that's worship. That's what we're doing. Now, in Romans chapter 1, here again we see in more obviousity, it's more obvious today than it's ever been, Romans chapter 1, verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Or amen in the churches. They're worshiping themselves and the land. Worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. The one who God created, they're worshiping them. That's themselves. And when you look around and see what's going on, they do. That's just more obvious now than ever before. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. Remember what Jesus told that woman, that it's going to come a time, you know, we're not going to be worshiping in a city in a certain place. Here's where Paul says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit." Now, this is different. We worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. Have no confidence in the flesh. Flesh, that's what you do with your hands. That's what you built. That's what you created. That's what you play. We don't have any confidence. That's not our worship today. We worship God in the Spirit. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, we read earlier where Satan wants worship when he talked to Jesus face to face there. Now, we see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, we see it reinforced. "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God," showing himself. He believes that. This devil, he believes it. He would have to believe it to go through what he's been through and still keep trying to go through it. That's amazing. Okay, now, we recognize here that worship going on in churches today, come worship with us, it's all false doctrine, it's all a ploy, it's all a trick to get the music, to get people to feel good, come to this church because we like their music and their preaching is good too, you know, that kind of a thing. We see what's going on. This is false worship that's going on. We're not doing anything wrong by having an internet church because we're not getting together to worship. We can praise him. We did that. You know, Patience played a couple songs this morning, a couple pieces this morning. But that was not our worship. That was a praise. That was, as Paul says in Ephesians, about music. But we're not here to worship. You know, we're not gathering together on the internet to worship. We just go down the streets of one of these churches and worship with them if that's all we want. But it doesn't work. That's not what God sees today. Now, let's go to Hebrews. And let's look back and one more thing that was mentioned in the Old Testament. We go into Hebrews to do it because he's talking about Jacob. Hebrews 11:21. "By faith, Jacob, when he was a-dying," I like that, "when he was a-dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff." Look at that. He's working for the state. He's a highway worker. Anyway, he worshiped. He was leaning upon the top of his staff. He was dying. That's his worship. It's still physical. There it was, you know. We don't have to be that way. We have Christ in us. We worship all the time. We listen to Him. We talk to Him. We pray to Him. We're with Him. That's worship. We're caught up in this physical worship performance that we have to do today in our churches to worship God. And now there's a point behind that. It's because it's getting piece of ploy. It's a sneak to get people ready to worship the image when the Antichrist comes down. They're getting this worship established in all these churches. And they're throwing out the doctrine. We're just getting together to worship. One of these days, the Lord's going to come, and we're going to all worship Him together. Forget the doctrine. Well, it's not going to be the Lord. That's Revelation 6. Wrong guy on the wrong horse. Revelation 13:4. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power to the beast. And they worshiped the beast. Revelation 13:8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life. Da, 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 da. In Revelation 13:12, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Revelation 13, verse 15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. The image of the beast will be given life, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. These people say, well, I'll just wait for the tribulation to make sure it's real. You know, you still won't believe it. And then you know, you just worship the beast and it's too bad. And the third angel followed them, Revelation 14:9, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead, there it is, or in his hands, see what's going to happen there? It's worship. And the smoke of their torment, 14 verse 11, ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Revelation 16:2, and the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. They're being set up with false worship today, which will become worship of the image of the Antichrist, the beast as such. And the beast was taken in Revelation 19:20, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. Those both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. I tell you, this worship that's going on today is a lot more serious than people give it credit for. They enjoy it. Well, sure they enjoy it. We know enough about music and how music is written and the purpose of music and the power of music, and we recognize from Nebuchadnezzar as a tempting example of the Antichrist with the music. We see what's going on here. The churches are setting up for the coming of the Antichrist, and you can't tell them that. They're not going to buy that for 5 seconds. They have to believe that the scriptures of the King James Bible before they can almost even hear it, and they still don't want to hear it. That's what's going on with worship today. You want to come worship with us? No way, Jose. You're getting set up for the worship of the Antichrist. Oh, come on, you're kidding me. Just like Paul. They said to Paul, what? Paul, you've lost your mind. You've gone mad. You know, it's heresy what you're teaching there, Paul, that you would worship differently than what we're doing here. Who do you think you are that you could have an internet church and you could just, you and God can just exist together with your Bible? What kind of a nut are you? Well, that's the way it is. So, there be it. Unfortunately, it will not be a video. I don't know if you got it all, Mark, but I hope you got it, because I didn't. Well, Gary and Joyce in Oregon, and Jeanette and Chris, you guys enjoy your week. Grandma, get ready to go down there to Texas, where it's super-duper hot. Our temperature, I always have to tell you our temperature here, because it's just nice. And we'll get 100 degrees. Right now, it's 75 is our high. So we're having heat waves, you know. Yeah, I'll try to get some emails out to you and talk to you folks a little bit. Drop me an email and I'll let you know what's going on. And it just amazes me when people that have heard about Paul and the teachings along this line, they feel so threatened and they still go to another church. I just don't understand that. And if you ask them about it, they just kind of get very defensive and pretty mad at you for it. So I just basically keep my mouth shut and let the peace be there as long as we possibly can, I guess. So good night, you two in Oregon, and Jeanette and Chris and Mark. Thanks for being there. Hope it helped you.